Thank you. I'm going to go talk at your last comment there about student learning outcomes. All the other three speakers talked about matching outcomes to the location and to the partner they have. Brian, you talked a lot about creating that right partner. Carolyn mentioned that the partner is important. Carl, how do you identify, this is for the three of you, how have you personally identified the partner that helps you achieve your learning outcome? And what were some of the things, the networks you used, or how did you do the nuts and bolts of identifying a partner that could help you achieve your learning outcome? And why don't we go Brian, Carolyn, and Carl?
Sure. Well, in some cases, it's quite easy because we already have the partner in the home institution that we know we can rely on to provide those experiences. So as an example, we have taken multiple trips to the Royal Botanic Garden, Edinburgh, and we have alumni from our programs already there established at that institution. We have a memorandum of understanding with that institution. And so we reach out to them and we say, and in some cases I'll do the overture, so it's me reaching out, but we also put some of that onus on the students. So we have the students liaison with the institution and say, we would like to take a field botany course. We would like to do X. We would like to do Y or Z. And so in that scenario, it's a little bit easier. But in some instances, we have to rely on, we've relied on travel agencies to help place us with drivers or with tour guides, especially when English may be a language barrier. And we've leveraged partner institutions, so we've reached out to faculty and said, do you have anybody in Japan that may be able to provide this experience? Or do you know someone who's really reliable that works well with students that would be available to do this? And so in some cases, we've actually paid for consultation or consulting services in other countries to make sure that we're able to achieve those learning outcomes and that we're able to get to the destinations that we need to.
Carolyn, how did you find your partners and your service providers for your learning outcomes?
We got connected 2 years ago with a travel agency in Georgia, actually, Big Adventure Travel, and they are have become known for being able to work with institutions, getting them into and out of countries that may be difficult to get into or out of. They're also doing the work that we have to deal with.
Carl, your partnerships.
Yeah, I mentioned Gesundheit University. At first, it was a personal relationship with a colleague there, and then we have an MOU. We had like several that we have developed, but we rely on Gesundheit. They have the connections. And for instance, to go visit a site, you normally have to send a written letter saying you want to come visit, what the scope of your activity is, what day and what time you're going to show up. That's usually done months in advance, so there's that kind of preparation the day before us. So otherwise, there's it'd be impossible for me, and they're really very good at that. They organize the van travel. We take trains, we do vans, we do other transportation boats, so they actually organize all of that for us.
Yeah, just for the benefit of recording and for you all, I'm going to summarize kind of what they said. So I think that we have a number of resources for planning our study abroad, which would include our personal professional contacts, A number of us have those. Our alumni are an incredibly rich resource. If we have alumni in various countries around the world, our institution very likely has agreements in various countries. My institution has around 70 international agreements in about 45 different countries, and that becomes an initial, with other universities, that becomes an initial pool. Then there are commercial providers. There are my institution at the University of Arkansas. We have 10 what we call preferred academic study abroad providers. They're commercial providers, and they cover a whole bunch of these arrangements that we have. The one other thing I might add to that Carolyn kind of mentioned was that I think that nothing really would do better than the study abroad director or whoever's going to lead that to do a pre-trip themselves, to know where they're going, know what's going on, understand the logistics, know where that hospital is, know where that garden is. So it's not new to them with the students that they have developed a level of expertise. My guess is most of our institutions will have funding for faculty prepare study abroad kinds of activities like that. One thing that was kind of hinted on in several of the presentations was, how do we go beyond being just a tourist? It's one thing to go there and learn our discipline in another environment and say, ooh, that's cool. But we're in a group, especially faculty-led, where we tend to be very, in a group and in a huddle all the time. It's a little bit of a scout troop kind of a thing. And some of our faculty can be very clingy. Those of us that have led faculty abroad know that students abroad know they can be very clingy to the faculty. So all of you, and whoever wants to respond first, what are things that you have personally done to make your students go beyond being a tourist, to have some form of a cultural experience, whether it's a seven-day trip or a semester experience? Somebody want to answer?
About these native plants, and we scavenged
Anne-Marie?
I would just say that I think one of the things that has been helpful for us is because we do the pre-departure course, we have a semester with the student, and many of them aren't horticulture students, they're from across the university that come. And I'm not a psychologist, I'm a horticulturist, but you can start to read groups of students and individual students and understand a little bit about their emotional intelligence. And I spent a little bit of time working with the group, helping them understand that, you know, this is the norming, this is what's going to be happening. You don't know how you're going to respond to a situation until you're in the middle of it. You may think you know how it's going to go. But really helping each other, look at each other and be more in tune with really what's going on and kind of reading your room. There are always extroverts on the trip, and they always want to be together. They always want to be going, that's great. For those of us that are a little bit more introverted, we need to apply them. So we have to get them so they recognize that in their colleagues. Don't judge them, but just give them that space, and that ends up making the trip a little bit more enjoyable.
Yeah, I might add one thing from my own experience. First off, I think that we as the instructors, how we encounter and engage culture will become the model for how our students will engage culture. Instead of saying, wow, that's weird, maybe change that to a little bit like, that's interesting. What can we learn about that? About 10 years ago, I took 24 students for 30 days to China. And after a couple weeks in China, my own cultural bravery, I had a student come up and whisper in my ear, Dr. Rome, what part of a pig will you not eat? And, you know, I did try every part of the pig imaginable because I thought that if I didn't try it, I know my students would not try it unless they were trying to outdo me. We have about 10 minutes left here. How about you? Do you have questions for the panel, or would you like to make a statement? First question is back here. So it might be worthwhile for you to identify yourself, tell us who you are and your institution.
Jack McCoy, The Ohio State University. Obviously, thank you for your presentations. Study abroad is really important in your young college career, and Dr. Rome walked me through my own study abroad experience. Curious about, we didn't really mention much about graduate students in study abroad. All of my work is funded through an AFRI grant, and my bosses are in collaboration through Ohio, Hawaii, and a university in Mexico City. And I'm going in a couple of months to Mexico to help on a collection trip with our collaborators, and I'm excited about that. But I was really easily funded through an internal grant, almost because I think they were surprised to see a proposal like that. I guess my question is, am I wasting my time, and why aren't more graduate students in our area interested, or maybe what are some resources that they have?
Yeah, let's broaden the question to what do you see as faculty of the importance of study abroad for graduate student preparation? Could I summarize it that way?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say that any international experience that a student, graduate or undergraduate or professional or whatever can participate in is incredibly important. You don't necessarily know how that's going to play out at some point in your career or in your future, but it's going to be important one way or another. I think probably the biggest barrier that I've seen is major professors who don't see the value in it, they see it as taking away from. So then it's a matter of figuring out how you're going to package that and make it a compelling case to a major professor. So.
Any other responses? Anybody else like to?
With our trip, Mississippi State to Thailand, we heavily encourage graduate involvement. That was a desirable, you know, we wanted diversity in the cohort of the group. We wanted diversity of academic experiences, and so I know on our trip we had three grad students, and what they offered to the undergrads was phenomenal, and so I think it's a desirable aspect, and I agree with Anne-Marie. I think a lot of it is the sell to the major advisor, you know, especially if you're like on a master's track, you know, it's 2 years, and if you're taking 3 weeks out of that, you know, how does that impact your teaching or research, or so, but I wish there were more graduate opportunities for travel abroad, because I think, you know, if you're, especially if you're going through the academic track, having that experience as a grad student will better prepare you to be a great faculty mentor and to lead opportunities like this for future students?
Now, I'll respond, Jack. That's a very informed question. The Association of International Education Administrators, which are all senior international officers, are asking us the same question. It's becoming kind of a holy grail that we now feel that there's a generation of the academy that is not well trained. We focus so much on undergraduate study abroad and for their career placement. And we found out that many of the students that had studied abroad as an undergraduate actually did not become graduate students. They were focused on other things, particularly undergraduate research. So the nationwide, the understanding is that there's actually a lower study abroad and cultural competency among graduate students than among our undergraduate population. So you've hit on a national issue. Well, and that's a good case to be made. Okay, next question here.
I'm Dre Cullen, University of Minnesota. I also hold the title of guest professor at the Tokyo Agricultural University and associate professor at the CNR. So that was actually a good lead-in to my question to you, because education abroad is extremely complicated. I admire all of you for what you've done. But the first question that the moderator posed is internationalization of student output. And so graduate students are an important part of that. I ran a program of exchange with Germany for 6 years. It was a reciprocal exchange funded by the National Science Foundation. It's possible to do that. We have a role for that. But I was actually thinking that one of the things you left out, so education abroad gives a certain kind of experience. There are other experiences like research for REU, the research experiences for undergraduates, where I've sent students, for example, to Italy for an REU program, and possibly there's a number of international sites of that where you're doing it one student to one university, but it's already set up for you. There are many things like that. They go beyond what you're talking about in terms of international experiences. So I was wondering, you know, because it was so focused on education abroad, and I understand that's an immense commitment. I better say this because Mary is a humanist. And it is immense, but there's so many other things that enrich. You know, talk about Fulbright, so we can send our faculty to get those kind of experiences. Our graduate students, like I said, we have the exchange with Germany, but we also tried for years to try to do the same thing with China. China will send their students to us, but it's very difficult to get funds to send them to China so far. But those kind of things, I think, are very enriching ideas if they're research-based and actually put people in a research environment. So if they're not science tourists, but they're actually scientists with an educational experience. So I just wanted you to comment on that, because I think it was kind of like a void where we don't actually recognize that once a student has done that activity, they're a prime candidate to do these other activities. And maybe not in the same countries, maybe not with the same experiences. But those possibilities, and also whether your faculty are going out and trying to set up, like I did with NSF, to have reciprocal exchanges with those countries where you have that experience.
Yeah, if I could re-summarize that or reframe that question, your focus of your presentations were fundamentally on or primarily on faculty-led programs. What's happening in your departments, or what are your experiences with setting up those other alternative kinds of programs, particularly high-impact international programs such as internships abroad or research experiences abroad? Do you have experience or activities or things that are going on in your department you could share with us? Whoever would like to respond. Is that a fair way to?
Sure. Well, we definitely have that. We have placements for, we have fellowships and we have research, individualized placements with our partners abroad for a single student to go to institution, whether it's a university or whether that's another garden. I think those take a lot more just say that in the last 3 years, those types of experiences have been a little bit more difficult to navigate because of the visa process. And that has a lot to do with our current political climate. And so, and that visa process is expensive, and it's different for every single country. And not only is it different for every single country, it varies almost yearly. So that application process, a great example is for the UK. We have multiple partners in the UK, multiple sites where we're sending our students. And we've been doing this for 10 years. And every year, that process, that application process changes. And so that's just something to consider. It should not be a barrier because the outcome and the transformation that is a product of that far outweighs the challenges.
I will say at my own institution, and actually my institution reflects the national data on this, we all recognize the importance of that, I think, in study abroad offices. At my institution in the last 5 years, individualized experiences, particularly internships and research experiences, have grown tenfold to where it's about 5 or 6% of the total study abroad population. So study abroad offices are all dealing with that, but it is very complicated for a range of reasons, but that should not undermine the reason that it would be impactful for our students to do that. So thank you for bringing up that point. Yes, question here.
I just wanted to ask, especially since you guys, multiple of you have mentioned, Sean Campbell, PhD student at the University of Florida. Multiple of you have mentioned working in Thailand, and my lab is actually trying to organize a plant collection trip to Thailand and Malaysia right now. One of the problems we're having is not logistically, we have partners, we have universities, we have all of our travel, but we've been warned that in the Thai culture, it's completely unacceptable to just expect to show up and do work. You're supposed to introduce yourself. So it's been warned that we should actually make two trips. One to go over, introduce ourselves, and then another where we expect to actually get work done. Can you make any comments on that? Or it's not something I've ever experienced traveling internationally before.
From your question, you're saying you have to have the connections and the trust. And that is probably true. I think that's the same even in our country. Like going into native peoples, they don't want you just to come in and do a survey. They want to have a long-term relationship. So that would be something I know with me to do my Fulbright. In the old days, when you had the list of all the people around the world, that's how I started. But it took me like a year or so. And calling and working with the person who was able to facilitate my home right there. So, and I alluded to the fact that having connections well in advance, and then, we were going to be somewhere on June 12th. Well, we couldn't change it to June 13th if we said we're going to be there at 9 o'clock. So it's all very fixed. And then there often is gifts. There's the cultural aspect of when we visit places, we give an honorarium. We used to give out I give out little gifts to people there, hats and things. And that's so, having someone who knows the culture and the connections is really going to be critical, I think.
Yeah, my own experience from working in several countries in Southeast Asia, and it was explained to me actually by the president of the university, Qingdao University in China. He said it takes 3 visits. He says the first visit, everybody is suspicious of each other. The second visit, you're becoming friends. The third visit, you're friends and you can get work done. And I've encountered that not just in China, but in several other Southeast Asian countries. There's probably a little hesitance about a country like our country, which often is viewed for a number of reasons of being a little imperialistic. And so I think that they really want to know that we're forming a relationship with them. And to that point, the simple reply to that would be, developing that cultural understanding that is specific to that particular country or culture.
I said, Mr. Campbell, increase your alcohol tolerance.
Yeah.
Okay,
I think I've got time for, we'll take one more question right here, and then we need to get to the general assembly, the general meeting. So we'll take your question, please.
Thank you. My question is about
We have a very strong program through our College of Ag and Life Sciences in Uganda. We developed a location teaching center, a very tight partnership with a local university. So that's one of the examples of probably one of the most well-developed international and kind of ongoing reciprocity type of program. So the students from Makerere University come to Iowa State. We have some that are graduate students, some who come as undergraduates for maybe part of the semester or a semester. So it can be quite variable depending upon the needs and the desires of both of the host institutions.
And in addition, my institution I'm from Nigeria. My institution will be collaborating with the Canadian government for about 8 years, promoting our indigenous vegetables. And I think the issue in the whole community actually is part of the presentation that we need to make in the conference.
Yeah, I think there's lots of opportunities to form additional partnerships, and it's something we've not thought down at the departmental or curricular program, at the departmental level, but I think it is something that should be considered. I do need to wrap us up because in about 3 minutes in an adjacent room, the Tex Frazier lecture and the award ceremony and nothing else is supposed to be scheduled or go on at that same time except getting coffee or whatever else however you hydrate. So I'd like to thank our speakers again, Anne Marie, Carolyn, Brian, Carl. Help me thank them for their presentation today. And thank you all for coming and participating. It was informative.